about the money. This is the financing portion of your land and development. We're going to talk about institutional funding, seller financing, private lenders, and crowdfunding. Institutional funding. This is where the slides get less cute with visuals, right? But it's a serious matter. Farmers.gov is a website that I want to tell everybody to check out. You might not have any intention of farming, but with what's going on with food sovereignty, being able to purchase land through the USDA and loan products that are available, as well as being able to take advantage of any grants and different things that are available with food sovereignty projects, it's a no-brainer. Look into farmers.gov. That is a great resource when you are purchasing land. Institutional funding is your typical funding. That's when you go to Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, or Citizens Trust Bank, Unity Bank, and you say, I want to buy this piece of land, I would like to build a home on it, and I would like to sell it. They've got the best rates, but it's the hardest to get. So you're going to need to speak to multiple lenders, and you're going to do best by starting with a bank that you already have a relationship with. So this goes without saying, before you try your hand at investing in any land, you should be credit worthy. You should have an exceptional credit score. You should have money and savings in the bank, at least, you know, 25% of your disposable income should be saved in the bank before you start buying land and investing in this way. Yes, you can buy affordable land at affordable prices, cash outright. And if that's the strategy you want to do, by all means do it. But if you're going to do a development project of scale, you're going to need institutional funding, and to get the best rates and to even be considered by a traditional lender, you are going to need exceptional credit and experience, that track record again. There's ways to get around it if you don't have a track record and no one on your team has a track record, by partnering strategically with your constructor, your builder, your developer. Speak with multiple lenders, set up your LLC. Again, talk to that strategy, that business consultant, that strategist, that business attorney. Put your LLC into position by having the best, most creditworthy people on your LLC, people who have experience in, maybe they have been a general contractor. If you have someone in your family or in your friend group, use the people who are in the best position to be able to go after institutional funding if you do that. Seller financing is the better option if you know you'd have less than perfect credit.
Ash, hold on,
because we got to hear that. The good folks at Zoom, your sound keeps going in and out.
They're trying to censor you. Like, your sound is, Ash, can you repeat that? Because your sound is cutting off like every like 10 minutes for like a minute. I don't know what's going on, but can you start back at the beginning of seller financing, please?
Yeah, we can't let that go unmuted.
Yes, I apologize. I probably have an unstable internet connection.
It's all good. Anytime that you do that again, because I we don't want anybody to miss any information. Like, when your sound goes out, we'll just start talking, because it's usually like only for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So then we'll start talking, and then we can just bring you back in to just, so whenever you hear us start talking, just know that your sound cut out. And then we'll just bring you back in when your sound comes back on.
Yeah, because I got my notes, Ash, and I'm like, wait, what just happened?
Now we gotta get the information, hook or crook, man. They can't
that's
stop
a fact.
It.
And shout out to everybody that has a hand raised. We're gonna get to that when Ashley's finished with the presentation. We see the questions. We're gonna get to that.
All right, bet. Seller financing. What I was saying is, it's usually a better option because Seller financing typically does not report to the credit bureaus. Sellers typically just want to get their money, and as long as you're paying them, they have no reason to report to the credit bureaus. So that means your debt to income ratio is not going to change, because that debt that you have on that land is not going to be reported. So you know it, but nobody else is going to know it. So seller financing means you could go and put loans out on 20 properties real quick and start flipping them on how you might see it as an opportunity. And your debt to income ratio is not going to change, and you'll be able to move on your projects or get institutional funding as needed or additional credit cards as needed without these land deals being on your credit report and pulling your debt to income ratio to a lower score. So with seller financing, it's scamming season. So be careful. People will put a picture of a property up, act like they are the seller, and you go and you're like, oh, I just bought 25 acres for five stacks. And you did not just buy 25 acres for five stacks. So make sure you are doing your due diligence, that you're checking the tax records to make sure that the person who says that they are the owner, the seller, is the seller. Check with the listing agent. Make sure that the listing agent is an official broker, and you protect yourself in every form or fashion by going through a closing attorney on your seller financing deal. That's how you cover your assets, okay? Don't go do a seller financing deal straight up, and you might not actually end up buying this land. Unless, of course, you are, again, a seasoned investor, a seasoned real estate investor that's used to buying properties and putting deeds in at the tax assessor's office and with the court in the county. If that's not you, you need a real estate agent and you need a closing attorney to ensure that your transaction with the seller goes through smoothly. Another note with seller financing, or what's also known as owner financing. You negotiate with the seller. You can negotiate what you want, and they can negotiate what they need. So it could be a 20% down payment. It could be a 50% down payment. It can be a flat monthly rate of interest only with a balloon payment at the end. So make sure that you do good negotiating so that you get the best financing terms possible, so that you don't end up overpaying for this price of land. Because if that's the case, you hustling backwards. So negotiate, make sure that you got your best negotiator doing the negotiating, and you don't lose your shirt because you're financing at an exorbitant interest rate, you're putting too much money down. Any of those things can be a bad situation. So negotiate, 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 and make sure, final note, that the owner owns the property outright, ideally. If the owner doesn't own the property outright, don't buy it if the property itself has a mortgage on it that's going to be more than the down payment you're going to pay. Because when you pay that down payment, you want that down payment to clear the mortgage note out. That way you can end up with the deed in your name. From that moment you leave the closing table, that deed being in your name means it's your property. You can get USDA farm benefits. You can get all of the things that you need. But as long as there's a mortgage on that property in that seller's name, this deal is a no-go. In most states, you can't have a property and sell it while you still have a mortgage on it. So be mindful that that mortgage needs to get cleared. And if it can't get cleared, it needs to be assumed. And you need to go through the process of legally assuming that mortgage with the mortgage holder and do it the right way, because you do not want to lose your money. Private money lenders, highest interest rates, hands down. That's not the way to go if you can avoid it. but it's easier to get. Most cases it's based on the deal, and you can also get private money from family and friends if you are lucky enough to have people who are financially astute and who have savings and are interested and able to invest in deals like land deals and new construction opportunities. So if you have somebody in your circle, go get that private money first. Negotiate, win-win, right? And if you don't have private money available to you in your own personal network, you can go to a hard money lender. Hard money lenders are essentially borrowing the money of all the people in their network to be able to make loans to you at exorbitant interest rates. A good interest rate for somebody who has a pretty good credit score, who wants to bust a move before their business has been in business for at least 6 months, because typically all of these financing options, except for seller financing, you're going to want to be in business for at least 6 months, unless you are doing a farming business in which you can use a USDA startup loan to fund your land purchase and your farming operational expenses. But otherwise, you are going to need to have been in business for at least 6 months. Unless you're going with a hard money lender. If not, your hard money lender is going to look at the credit score of the primary, the managing partner. If that person has like a 700 credit score or better, you don't have to have been in business for 6 months. Again, typically the deal will dictate the private money lender situation, where you might not need to have good credit, but you definitely need to go and have these conversations, again, negotiating with your private money lenders. My favorite private money lender is Direct Lending Partners. They typically do not do deals on land. Most private money lenders or hard money lenders do not do deals on just land. But again, this is America. Anything is possible when you negotiate and open your mouth. Crowdfunding. Less hoops, less successful. Crowdfunding. When we started our, when we decided to purchase land and we were looking at Toomsboro, we went on to GoFundMe and we looked and seen about 15 or 20 crowdfunding campaigns of people trying to fundraise the $1.7 million for the city of Toomsboro, right? Crickets on all of the crowdfunding. Like, nobody raised more than like $1,000 on any of these crowdfunding website on this GoFundMe. So crowdfunding, while everybody gets really excited about it as an option, it's not usually successful unless you're very strategic and you have a huge marketing campaign and a great story. We were able to raise over $87,000. We're almost close to our $88,000 goal. And we used that as a kind of like a building fund, where we were able to clear our land and put down gravel and, you know, lay down areas for us to do our pavilions and our stages and all those types of things. And so that was a long and hard process to raise $88,000, and we still haven't reached our goal. So I crowdfunding is an option. It doesn't take a lot other than a strong story and marketing campaign, but they don't tend to go as far or be as successful as you would like them to be. And it takes a ton of money to be able to genuinely develop large projects, especially when they don't have, you know, connection to certain infrastructure. So crowdfunding is definitely a later choice. And then there is regulation crowdfunding, which you can raise up to $1,070,000. I'm not very familiar with crowdfunding, and I would love if Troy and Rashad could get somebody who has done some crowdfunding in the EYL University at some point, because
we did. Chris Senegal, and I'm sure he'll come back again and he could do it. We could do a class on crowdfunding for sure.
Yeah,
but,
because
but he had a very successful crowdfunding campaign that they raised over $1 million.
See what I'm saying? So I can't speak to that, but that right there, this is how we really start to develop land deals. So that's something that you guys are gonna come back, have to become earners and come back and get this class when it comes. All right. So let's get to the build. The discovery period, there's a master planning period, there's a design phase, a construction, and marketing. Discovery. Starting from scratch means you need to discover the limitations and the restrictions of the land. I saw somebody in the comments say something about feasibility studies. That's this moment of discovery, right? You can do a feasibility study before you buy the land, but that's a whole lot of money to put into something and then decide not to buy it or go forth. If you study the area, you do your due diligence, you know what's happening in the community, you've got a clear vision. When you purchase that land, you can do your feasibility study after the fact, because developing land is really a lengthy process. It's not an overnight success type situation. It's going to cause for a civil engineer to come in to study the grading and the slopes of the land. There's going to be someone who goes and drills into the dirt to see how much weight the dirt can withstand, so you know how high you can build and what you can build and what kind of materials is going to be best based on the climate. I'm skipping ahead, but ultimately this discovery period is where you're going to get your topographical survey done, and you're going to want to understand the demographics of the area. Again, what the median income is, are people graduating from college, is the crime rates high, all of that good stuff. So that is your discovery period, your master planning period. This is where your person that you hired as your master planner looks at where we're going to put everything at, the infrastructure and the roads. Ingress and egress means how you go into the neighborhood, how you go out of the neighborhood, how you go into your driveway, how you go out of your driveway. Waste management, stormwater runoff. They're going to plan all of these things. You are not the person that does that. There's a master planner, a developer, an architect, a civil engineer. There are a team of experts that sit down and do your master planning if you're doing a large scale project. If you're doing a smaller scale project, you still need the same people, but you might be able to work with a boutique company that has 2, 3, 4 people. Maybe they're wearing the same hats, but master planning happens nonetheless. Master planning can cost anywhere from $150 to $750 an hour, depending on the experience of the master planner. And so you could be looking, again, depending on the amount of the acreage of the project. Are we talking about developing 10 acres of land, 1 acre of land? Are we talking about developing 400 acres of land? That master plan to lay out those streets, those roads, all of that design from the information they got in discovery from that topography report. They're going to do all of that, and it can cost anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 or more, depending on how much land you are getting planned and who the planner is. Design phase. Designing is the next step to your development process. This goes beyond that initial discovery phase into building homes and structures and retail and commercial based on the climate, the area, the needs of the citizens. Areas that are prone to like tornadoes and hurricanes, they will require different kind of building materials than places that are dry and don't have those type of climate changes and issues. So all of that can increase the cost of what you're designing. And this is where you can make a lot of money or lose a lot of money because you can overly design and you design something that's too high end for the area. And now you're not selling because it was not the kind of design for this neighborhood, community, and culture. Purchasing land where there's wetlands, deep valleys, other topographical challenges, that's going to create larger budgets because now you're talking about building bridges and how you lay in your foundation. So all of that stuff is a part of the design phase, and it's going to create and have a certain budget that will change according to the complexity of the design and the what's the word I want to use? The sweat, the style, the aesthetic of it. Okay. Construction. This is the second to the last stage of the raw land development process. In most cases, it's going to be first your horizontal development. That's the grading of your roads. That's the curbs. That's utilities. Eventually, you know, you're going to start building the property from the ground up. When you're looking for a contractor, your construction team, they're going to get paid in increments from your construction loan. And once they have gotten all of the construction done, you're ready to go on to the next phase. And construction, again, can take longer time frames based on the complexity of the design, the materials, leaks in the supply chain of trying to get certain materials to you. If you have certain materials that you are using because you're committed to green building or you have a high-end design, all of that can lead to higher budgets and costs. When you're looking for a contractor or contractors, you can Google what state, what city you're in. If you want to hire, you know, a minority contractor, a black contractor, Google that. Put Georgia Minority Contractors Association. Put Florida Black Chamber of Commerce. Put DC Business League into the results. Call them up and find a reputable contractor if you don't already have someone you know in your branding and marketing, that's the last stage. Once you've gotten your building done, before you've gotten your building done, to be perfectly honest, branding and marketing is what's going to sell this community that you just invested your time, energy, and money into. Branding is how you tell the story of why you built it and attract your ideal residents to the community, and marketing is that active placement of materials and formats that will allow them to see that story and get that story in front of the masses. So I can show you better than I can tell you, and I'm going to take you to a community right here in Georgia that's dope in marketing. This is called Trillist. This is a community that's been being built over the last 10 years. It's actually a community that was founded by a production studio called Pinewood Studios. It's in Fayetteville, Georgia. This marketing is what attracts their ideal client. Their values is what attracts their ideal client. The community that they are building is for makers, entrepreneurs, and storytellers where they can find fulfillment in every way. This is branding. A community tailor-made for storytellers. Well, it was a studio that purchased land, built it up, similar to what Tyler Perry did when he purchased land in East Point to build Tyler Perry Studios. They built a community. That's that economic development. It's got restaurants in there, homes. And so when you are considering land development and what you're buying, things happen in phases. And so I wanted to show you this because when you start talking about doing a land project, you have to have vision and you have to know where you're going. So I wanted to show you guys Trillis, and I'm going to show you guys, close that door, please, Skyra. Thank you. Yes. And Sarenby, Georgia. again, marketing. It just looks like the kind of place where you want to live, right? They got goats. So when you start thinking about your project, begin with the end in mind and think about who's going to live here and build for them and build in a way that the story is compelling. That's what we're doing with Freedom Georgia. All right. Now I'm going to take you guys to the final stage. And I got 3 minutes before we go to questions, some insight and inspiration. Don't wait for opportunities to come. Get up and make them, Madam CJ Walker. Chartering a city. Listen, if you are interested in chartering a city, hit me up. But the reality is, as we begin to be more strategic and work these ideas and principles of group economics and collective economics, and we're building collectively communities that are safe, that are thriving, the logical next step is a city charter. A city charter is going to open you up for benefits that will give you more control over your community long term when it comes to how your community is developed, police, the zoning, the ordinances, the health outcomes, how money that gets sent down from the federal government to the state government gets distributed is based on these cities and their populations and density. So we really got to look at how being a city and taking these developments where we're building our own infrastructure, building our own culture of shared values, then we go to the next step, which is a city charter and electing officials who are going to represent our values and do what's best for the residents that live in this city. This is called placemaking, is what we're doing. It's not just about land developing. This is about making places where people feel safe, where people have peace, protection, prosperity. And a city is a government structure that allows that to actually happen. So that's our next step. That's what we're going with this. So get strategic, work together with your comrades, with your partners, with your like-minded business folks in the area, get with your economic development authority, get with your Black chambers of commerces, and let's start building these cities according to our needs, our desires. This is how we be strategic.
That was powerful. Thank you. Thank you. That was an amazing presentation. So I don't want people to take that lightly. It's like, you know, for all the years that we go to school, whether it's elementary, high school, college, even master degree programs. Me personally, I've never, you know, was taught the process of buying land and this stuff is, you would think that this would be one of the key things that would consist of an educational experience, because we all have to live somewhere and land is the key component of the planet Earth. And it never was actually taught to 99% of us. So it's amazing that you were able to come on here and teach this, and we're thankful. So thank you for that. And you know, it's also amazing that we was able just to even have this platform to actually educate people. And it's a very encouraging thing. And I'm sure everybody is extremely appreciative of it, but do not take it for granted. Sometimes when you get things and it's free, you don't fully appreciate it, but it's like, you know, this could have been Harvard, this could have been Yale, this could have been any level of education. I would argue that this was right up there and better than what anybody else could have done, whether Oxford, anywhere in the world. So that's extremely powerful. And like I said, this kind of information can literally change the trajectory of our existence in this country, and is something that we have not known about for hundreds of years, for centuries. So now that we're coming into this information, it's important that A, we learn as much as possible, we apply it, and also we work together as a group. So yeah, that's something that is extremely, extremely powerful. So once again, thank you. So What we're gonna go into now is question and answers for about 20 minutes. So once again, if anybody joined late, this is a special edition of EYL University. So once a month, every single month. So with EYL University, we're an educational platform. Outside of what you see on the podcasts are episodes where you learn a lot. This is more of a hands-on learning experience. So every single Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we bring experts from the field in and they teach a class via Zoom. And it's on everything from how to wholesale real estate to how to analyze a real estate deal, investing, cryptocurrency, you name it. We've had a class and we're going to have more classes. And then that's every week. And then every other Sunday is our book club headed up by Troy. And then the alternate Sunday is MG, a mortgage guy. He has a real estate call. And then once a month, I do a financial planning call. So those are all the things that are in existence of EYL University now, right now. But as I said, we're putting EYL University, the undergrad department, as you know it, we're gonna end it. This will be the last week of EYL University, as you know it. We're taking a winter break for 2 weeks, and then we're coming back in 2021. We're coming back in 2021 with a whole new revamped product. We're gonna have a professor series where we're bringing in experts to teach classes 4 times a year. So it's not just gonna be one-offs, because sometimes it's hard to learn with just a one-off class. So we're gonna do 4 different classes. Miss Business is gonna teach about taxes. Ash Cassidy is gonna teach about financial literacy. Brandon Rule will teach about real estate. Sabine will teach about all things legal. Quentin Martin will be our investor teacher. Kwame Ankul will teach about a variety of different business topics. And Credit Dude will teach about the world of credit. And I heard might be interested in being a professor also. So I don't want to put her on the spot, but
no, I'm in there. I already said I am down. So
you down?
Let me ask you this,
because you're a member of EYL University. How has your experience been so far? You just joined a couple days ago, but how has your experience
been? It was not a couple days ago. It's been a couple weeks. Thank you very much. Don't try to play me like I just signed up, like I just jumped on your bandwagon, bro. Okay. I actually signed up after I did the first EYL University with y'all. Okay. One of my partners, Greg Mullen, shout out to him.
Shout out to Greg, for sure. Shout out to Kev, too, was part of the interview.
And shout out to Kev. He's also an earner. So I was like, oh, I can't have Kevin and Greg getting all this good information without me. So yeah, it's been a great experience. Like, I've just been going hard in the real estate section, but it's like so many classes. Like, I'm not even like, it's too much. I'm like, it's a lot. Like, it's good stuff though. I've watched 2 classes. I literally sat there like taking notes, and I was blown away by the level of information and insight that I was able to get. As somebody who know a little something, you know, I still was able to learn, which is really cool.
Yeah, we always gonna over deliver and under promise. That's kind of how we living right now.
And it's like the most successful people always are investing themselves. And for Ashley, obviously, she's an extremely intelligent person, and she's like, yo, I want to be an earner. I'm not above being a member of EYL University. And she joined. I didn't even know she was joining. She joined and she became a member, and she's studying herself. So that's dope, and that says a lot. So thank you for that. So we're gonna get to questions, but before we do, like I said, this is the last thing that we're gonna do for EYL University this year. On Monday, we're changing it, and then we're gonna come back January 1st. If you're interested in joining EYL University, like I said, we're revamping this whole thing. With the revamp, everything is changing, including the price. The price is gonna double because we're paying professors now. We got a full-time admin. Everything is changing. We're really, really taking this to the next level. If you join today, it's 40% off, which is $400. $400 for the entire year, including 70 classes, all the stuff I just named. You're grandfathered in for that price next year. So this is the last 48 hours. You got 48 hours before that changes. So if you're interested, I pinned it in YouTube. It's EYLUniversity.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM at the end at checkout. And realistically, $400. That's like a good dinner with two people in New York City. That's a good dinner, two people, a bottle of wine. So to have this level of education, I think that there's nothing comparable to it, especially for that price point. I mean, people charge $10,000, $9,000 for that level of education for a lot less actually.
Yeah. I always say, man, that there's no platform that has this much information in so many different areas, man. So like you said, this is in college, this is like two textbooks that you're not even going to use, because they're going to give you a new version of it the next semester. So
Ashley's presentation was a book. That was actually like a book. Like if you put that in book form, that's about 140 pages.
And that was a scaled down version.
Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, we're interested in having all you guys join. It's pinned. I'll put it back in the YouTube. It's EYLuniversity.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM. And the price will be doubling. It's the first time the price has ever doubled. But we can do that in good conscience because we're giving you a heads up. So we're giving you a heads up that the price is doubling in 2 days.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.